In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I would imagine that after 2,000 years of telling the story of Jesus rising from the dead, and each of us having heard it every year of our lives since we were little, the resurrection is just something we come to expect. It doesn't surprise us. It doesn't stun us. It doesn't even thrill us that a person has risen from the dead, has become in a certain sense so commonplace that we more or less yawn and go about our business. Oh yes, Jesus rose from the dead. So when, during the season of Easter, when we read the readings, particularly from the Acts of the Apostles or from the end of the Gospels after the resurrection, and we see how absolutely stunned the apostles and the disciples are, we must feel the need to recreate in our own hearts and minds and imaginations the utter amazement of the apostles and the disciples when they first saw that Jesus was alive after they had killed him. We need to remember, almost emotionally, just how earth-shattering is this rising from the dead about which we moderns have become so blasé. We need to see how the world itself, its peoples, its cultures and customs, have been turned around by the fact that Jesus has proven to us that there is life after death and a resurrection for each of us. And we need to reinforce that belief by everything we do as Catholics. I mention this because there's no more intimate expression of our belief in the resurrection than in the way we Christians bury our dead. We bury our dead, that simple. And all of our burial customs and traditions and rituals, every one of them is meant to highlight the fact that we believe that after death, the soul lives on and awaits the resurrection of the body. Now, this is all in contradistinction to cremation, which since the 1960s has been more and more common, even among Catholics, for whom cremation had been totally forbidden for about 1,600 years. Well, now the Church allows it for serious reasons, but it is still not recommended. Now, I know that all of us and all of our families have been involved with funerals where there were cremations, so there's nothing we can do about them. And while it is no longer forbidden outright, we do need to know that cremation is not just one option among many for Catholics. It's the last way we should care for the dead. And the first reason that cremation is the last way we care for the dead is that there is nothing Christian about cremation. Cremation was the method that the wealthy pagans were able to use when someone in their family died. And probably many of those wealthy pagans were cremated after they had just performed ritual suicide, which for the pagans wasn't a problem either. You can see that the Church, when it was sending the missionaries out 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 1800 years ago, the Church had a lot to contend with in trying to change attitudes and beliefs of these early people, these pagans. It was not just a matter of RCIA today and Catholic culture tomorrow. It took the Church hundreds of years to get it into the hearts and the minds of the people that there was something inherently wrong with things like slavery, suicide, gladiatorial combat, and cremation. It took about 400 years to get the people to understand that Christians buried their dead. They didn't burn them in pyres or in Viking ships. Sure, that would be incredibly dramatic for people who didn't believe in anything very seriously. Well, let's go out in a blaze of glory, for there's nothing more. But you and I can both feel that there's kind of a hopelessness about that. Each funeral pile was kind of a loud wail. Is there anything out there? That's why the Church was successful in eliminating the practice of cremation in Christian countries, because now that people believed deeply in eternal life and in the resurrection, they began to appreciate that anything less than a wake, a mass, and a burial was essentially disrespectful. Then, and we held that for 1600 years, but then Christian belief started to decline by the 19th century. And that's when all the atheists and the Masons and the secularists began to promote cremation. They had cremation societies because it was now considered one more method to get people to stop believing in the resurrection and in eternal life. In other words, in the very act of cremation, they could ridicule the church's belief in the resurrection. So you think God can raise people from the dead? Well, let him see if he can raise up these ashes. Now, any Catholics in any of our families, mine included, who have been cremated, certainly do not believe in such atheist silliness. Sometimes Catholics will choose cremation because of serious economic concerns, and the church accepts that. But there are still problems with cremation, which is why it is not recommended for believers. The first problem is that the chances for carelessness and disrespect in cremation are multiplied out of sight. I heard of one situation once where they asked the church to hold on to the ashes until they could come back from the funeral breakfast. Of course, that was probably better than placing Gramps on a chair in the restaurant. I have heard of people mixing the ashes of the deceased person with dirt from their homeland and not knowing what to do with all the leftovers on the kitchen table. Or of great-grandchildren who did not know great-grandma and asking each other when they discovered great-grandma's urn on a shelf in the closet, "You want them?" "No, what am I going to do with them?" And we do know, don't we, that not all of the body is cremated. They throw the big bones away. So the church, in allowing for cremation in extraordinary circumstances, still says, though, the ashes must be buried in consecrated ground. At least that will save us from no small amount of silliness and unintentional disrespect. But do you see how everything we Catholics do in a traditional Catholic funeral highlights and reinforces what we believe about eternal life and the resurrection of the dead? For example, the wake, where we dress the person in their finest, and we festoon the casket with flowers and candles. That is our way of encouraging each other in the belief that this person, whom we loved in this life, is still present to us, even though they're in the next life. And we show our love and respect for that person by kneeling at the side of the body and praying for them. And don't we refer to the body of the person, even though that body is dead, don't we somehow still refer to it as our mother, our father, our brother, our sister? Of course we do. Because even though the soul has gone at the moment of death, the body that contained that soul was how we knew them. And all the things that we do at a wake, even to greeting visitors and mourners by standing by the body, are our ways of expressing our belief that the body is sacred and holy, and it is still somehow part of the identity of the dead person. How beautiful when at a wake, the children and the spouse all line up at the head of the casket. They are so obviously the only true treasure that lasts. And the family receives all the visitors one by one right there as if their mom or dad or their grandpa or grandma are still there with them and still alive. And in the truest sense, they are still alive. And isn't that what the funeral mass the next day tells us? At every turn, with every prayer, with every puff of incense, with every sprinkle of holy water, this person, once their sins are made up for in purgatory, their souls are going to heaven, and they await the return of the resurrection, the return of the bodies and the resurrection at the end of the world. Please remember, the Catholics do not do memorial services. We have masses, the most powerful prayer possible, so that our loved ones can be released from purgatory. Money for the funeral mass should never be an issue. And then we bring the body to be buried in its human imperfection. Even the cemetery helps us to remember the resurrection at that final Easter. How many times have I stood over my father or mother or my sister's grave, and I tried to look through 6 feet of dirt to try to see them in the clothes in which we buried them. And I imagine at the end of the world, as I'm standing there at the edge of my family's graves, I imagine there's caskets rising to the surface and opening up, and there my people are, just like they always used to be. And what an incredible moment, what absolute joy to see them again and to be with them forever. Yes, God can raise up ashes. He created the universe out of nothing. He can give us back our bodies no matter that they are dust or ashes. Cremation does not pose a problem for God. But it does pose a problem for us. Because a pile of ashes is so loose, so cold and lifeless, it's really impossible for ashes to remind us of what God has planned for us, life eternal and rising from the dead. So I guess today my point is this. We live in a society that really has no beliefs. It does not believe in the reality of the supernatural. It does not believe in God. It does not believe in eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. So we, as Catholics who live in this modern life, need to do everything possible in our lives to enhance and strengthen our beliefs, especially at the end of our lives. And then when death comes into the life of our family, we need to do as much as possible all the Catholic traditions, wake, mass, burial, and consecrated ground. For it is clear that while cremation can speak of many things, it never speaks of eternal life, which is why we Christians bury our dead. We are simply waiting for Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.